This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Once again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. To my right is Jake. He's a voluptuous 6'2" man kitten who loves nothing better than 4K Blu-ray and hot TV goodness. You can find him over on the Instagram and the Twitter at the McAxel. Jake. I think I already said Jake once, but Jake.
Travis.
Yes.
You're to my left.
Yeah.
And you like that PVM goodness, that sweet 8-bit, 16-bit, maybe sometimes 32-bit, and rarely 64-bit. Video game goodness.
I do. When you say PVM goodness, it also sounds like something naughty.
Well, you know, that's you on your own time. I don't care if it's naughty. I'm just gonna say that you love it. You can find him on the Twitter and the Instagram at TriPlaysGames.
You can do that. I've been Instagramming a lot more recently.
You have. I'm proud of you. Yeah. There was a dearth, a great dearth in the land of Instagram posts from TriPlaysGames, and you've been picking up the pace a little bit, snapping a few pictures, tagging me in a few. Been nice.
It has been nice. It's all about getting the games and beating the games around this place.
Yeah, boy, that's all we do.
Speaking of getting the games, I did do that pickup video
a
while back. Said blow in it a few times, caught on a little bit, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. I've got a catchphrase now.
Which, unintentionally, I just didn't know what else to say. So,
well, it worked out.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to do more of those. I mean, it was really fun to do. Whether or not anybody actually liked it, I had a lot of fun just... I hate to say it this way, but pulling my junk out and showing it to everybody. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a lot of fun to do that.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, and so once again, if you're new to the show, we talk about beating games, picking up games, and try to have a little fun doing it. We also do a little thing that's not game-related called Off Kilter. It's a podcast that Jake and I do about once a month. It's really every 3 weeks or so. Mm. Last episode was about dreams. I had a lot of fun in that episode. Every single one of those stuck with me. They were something that my brain chewed on for a few days after we've done that podcast. And I enjoyed it a lot. It was a little shorter than usual, but a lot of fun.
It was. It's always fun sort of getting to explore, I guess, the subconscious thoughts of others, you know, in a very non-invasive way.
because we don't really know the people that well, so it was kind of fun to speculate on what might have been going on.
Yeah, it was interesting, and some really cool stories, and a couple of really neat images came from that, mental images, not actual images. We didn't make any, you know, pictures or anything of their dreams.
Yeah, we didn't do any Rorschach tests or anything like that.
We should have.
Next Off Kilter, so it'll be a few weeks away, but don't hesitate to get your stories in, will be about childhood mischief. So if you got into any shenanigans while you were a little boy or a little girl and you got fussed at for, or maybe you didn't get caught and you want to own up to it here. Maybe you told a little white lie or something that spiraled into something out of control and you never fessed up that it was all you that caused it. Send those in. You can send those in to our email there at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. I would even say, I'll throw this out there, Jake, I didn't consult with you, but if you even want to record yourself telling the story and send that to us, we'll put that on the show.
No, we won't. I don't like that.
We can do that. We can pipe that right in. That's easy to do.
But don't do that.
It's easy to do.
No, it's fine.
It'd be fine. And then, or email them to us, or DM them, or however you want to send them. But a few weeks from now, childhood mischief. We know everybody here. No one's a little angel.
Right.
So send all that stuff
in.
Except Jake. He didn't get into any shenanigans.
That's weird.
All right. So moving on to the meat of the business.
Business meat.
Recent pickups and on the radar. I didn't pick up anything.
Nice. Good job.
Yep. What'd you get?
Idiot. So I'm going to go ahead and tell a little quick personal story, followed by an even longer personal story, then throw in like a mid-length personal story, and then I'll get to what I picked up. You ready for this?
Yeah, please,
okay.
God.
So about a month ago, I was involved in a workplace accident. I won't go into details. Had to make an ambulance ride to the hospital. Another gentleman had to stay a little while in the hospital. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody's okay. A few cuts and bruises, a few broken bones, etc. So anyway, during that time, I had to go to a mandated counseling session from work. And during said session, the counselor advised me to take this time to help reduce stress, to get that one thing I've had my eye on for a while. Mm-hmm. So shamelessly, the very first thing that popped into my mind while I was talking to this somewhat daft lady, she had like rocks and was rubbing them and was like, I don't know, she was kind of hippie and weird. But anyway, the first thing that springs to mind is Monster Hunter World. I was like, that's like instantly. I was like, I want it. That was about a month ago. And I was like, ah, I'll just try not to get it. I've tried to do this whole shenanigans with not buying a game for 6 months, so on so forth. Well, I got it.
What?
Yeah, and here's...
This is the first time hearing this. I'm so disappointed in you.
Well, here's how I am going to kind of justify it. One is that Miles told me I could, so...
Okay, well, first of all, Miles is not your dad. He's not your podcast partner.
But here's what I did. I had a pre-order paid off for a game, so I just canceled that and moved that fundage over to get this one. So essentially,
what game did you cancel?
I canceled Hyrule Warriors.
So you're doing you just did a little switcheroo.
I just did a switcheroo. I didn't actually put any money out of pocket. So, like, if you guys want to say, you know, that I completely screwed this over, that's fine. Having a weird incident like this in my life, you know, sort of overrode that one, and going on the advice of professional therapist, it was probably good for me to do that. I did
feel
a bit of a
professional daft rock rubbing therapist.
She's licensed. I'm not.
You gave her no credence, no respect, no props at all until she was like, go get a game. You were like, this lady's probably a genius.
Basically, it was complete confirmation bias. But anyway, so if you guys want to say that I failed it, it's fine. I'm not really upset about it. I've already proved that I can do it. Did it last year. But at the same time, I didn't really buy a game. I sort of just canceled a pre-order and moved that cash over to get this game. So there you have it. Personal confession, personal story. There you go.
And if you want to submit us your childhood mischief, go ahead and do that.
That's the most mischievous thing I've ever done.
All right. Well, you bastard. I like I said, didn't pick up anything, but I think you picked up something else since you didn't put that on the sheet because you knew I'd fuss at you.
I didn't. Right. That was hilarious, right?
You had something else, though.
So this one actually came as a result of a Kickstarter that I backed about 4 years ago. This was to Warhorse Studios. They were going to make this pretty cool historical-based first-person Western-style slightly survival RPG. With no magic or no dragons and elves and wizards and stuff like that, just purely historical based and very grounded and realistic. I guess it was probably last Tuesday or Tuesday before last at the time of this when this airs, that arrived in the mail finally 4 years later. So I've dug into that a bit, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's a pretty immersive story, a little buggy. It's kind of based on the Crytek engine, which isn't 100% optimized for consoles. It's never been great on consoles. It's pretty cool. So kind of out of the blue, like I'd been kind of keeping up with it. But if you guys know my history with Kickstarter, I'm just kind of like, I just assume I'm throwing money in the trash can at this point. So I wasn't really tracking it terribly much.
And it sounds like you're going to have a little bit more to add about that game here later in the show.
I will.
Awesome. What about games coming out?
Nothing.
Nothing for you?
Absolutely nothing. I could honestly reset, I think, my 6 month thing at this point and still be fine. I've looked later in the year and I'm just like, meh.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in anything until I
saw the title of this. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Well, that's exactly why. I'm kind of playfully interested in it. But when it's nothing like I thought it was going to be. Do you know anything about it?
I've seen a video. Once I saw this in your sheet, I was like, what in the actual fuck is this?
Yeah.
And apparently it's got like a 9 out of 10. Rating on Steam right now.
Yeah, people love it.
It's wild.
Basically, it's called Immortal Redneck, and
it sounds like one of those shovelware games in a jewel case in a Walmart that has like some big titty lady in a flannel bra that's holding a rifle, and there's like a buck and a Jeep on the front of it. Like, that's what it sounds like to me.
Except it's not like that.
I know.
Like, it looks like a legit game. It sort of has the art style of maybe like a Dungeon Defenders and a Orcs Must Die kind of feel to it. It's a first person, I guess, strategy shooter.
It kind of gave me the impression of almost like a Tower of Guns or maybe a Strafe.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's redneck about it is that the main character is supposedly a redneck, and he just yells like, "Woo, get him! What up, y'all? What the shit? Woo!" And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
It seems like something you'd play.
It does seem like something I would play and then pretend that I didn't like it but secretly loved it.
Right.
And so...
No, that's awesome. I'm glad that it's highly rated, and I think it was even Jim Sterling, who I generally hate.
That's what I saw. Yeah,
it seemed to enjoy it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I generally don't like him because he squashes all of
He's just contrary, I think, to be contrary.
Well, he squashes all of my positive vibes.
That's true.
But this is one where he had positive vibes, and it kind of gave me positive vibes.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, it comes out February 27th on the Xbox One. It's called Immortal Redneck. It can't possibly be expensive.
But no.
If you were to mute the any trailer or any gameplay that you saw and watched it, you'd be like, oh, wow, this seems like a serene, almost, like, very beautiful, kind of smooth-looking, artistic game. And then you turn the audio on, and it's just
it's
hilarious.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's awesome.
I've heard it.
I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I hope that, I think a lot of the shooter franchises, this may be a bit of a rabbit trail, but a lot of the shooter franchises that we've all known and love over the past few years have become this, either an annualized thing or this games of service thing. There's really not a whole lot of great single player first-person shooters out there anymore that just have fun. I think we've had Doom and the Wolfenstein series, courtesy of Bethesda and Machine Games, and that's really all I can think of. I mean, most everything else is getting annualized and overblown and DLC and loot box, and this seems to be like one of those almost, you know, Serious Sam kind of, yeah, kind of throwback kind of things.
It really feels like it should have come out in 2008 by its looks and appeal, but I'm into that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Speaking of things that are awesome, Jake, what happened last time?
Let's find out.
Previously on Polykill, the godfather of the podcast, Diego Avila, drops by and shares his experiences with Metroid Samus Returns, his appreciation for the Nintendo Switch, and how to get to Chicago this summer. Trav finally finishes Super Mario Bros. 3, and with the help of his wife, they complete Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2. Jake wrapped up Wonder Boy in the Dragon's Trap, and earns the decision over Mike Tyson. Diego leads the AA Games conversation as cheaper, lesser known, and knockoff games serve as the topic of discussion.
All right, that's what happened last time. We had Diego, the godfather of the Polykill podcast, on last week. He didn't really sound like that.
He didn't, but the godfather does.
But the godfather does. But it was so much fun having Diego on. Want to thank him again for coming on. It meant a lot to us. It means a lot to us in general that Diego has kind of helped us as much as he has. So.
Absolutely.
But I had a lot of fun with him, man. The AA conversation about, you know, kind of taking the old time machine back and got me thinking about the Gamecom again, which I promised myself I would never do. And I was like, yeah, I remember that. Looking through the JCPenney catalog, actually wanting it, getting it, hating it, but having to play it because I wanted it.
Right.
You know?
Having to eat a little crow and play a little game at the same time.
It did have Lights Out on it, which was the perfect game for a system with shitty contrast, poor controls, and bad resolution, but also had, like, Batman or something, and it was just god-awful.
Sounds awesome.
All right, so games that we have completed or retire.
Here we go.
From the old backlog.
Here we go.
I did knock off a few games.
You did.
I bounced back big.
Bounced
this week.
Back big. Triple B over here.
Triple B. Bounce back big. Where should I start?
Just lead off.
Right here at the beginning?
Yeah,
right.
At the beginning.
Finally beat Super Mario Land 2 on the Super Game Boy.
Isn't that Legend of the Six Coins, Seven Golden Coins?
Six coins. Yep.
Six coins.
There's six coins that you got to get before you go through
Wario's.
You
can't know if they're golden. It's a Game Boy game.
Got to go through Wario's castle. And I definitely enjoy it. I feel like the difficulty ramps up really big at the end. Like, it's a pretty easy, childish game for the first, like, five levels,
right?
I think, or five of the levels at least. Boy, I had some trouble with Wario's Castle, though, man. And this was on, you came over, we took a day off and played through a bunch of games, or tried to anyway,
we didn't.
But, yeah, dude, do you remember, you said you played it, you beat it as a lad, as a kid?
I beat it as a lad, and then I actually played through it again since we've been doing the podcast.
Right.
I played it on my 3DS.
Man.
And I love that game. I it's actually one of my favorite Mario games just because of, like, the themes of each world. It's something a little different and somewhat grounded. You know, it's not like Mushroom Kingdom stuff where things are kind of weird. It's like you're in a clock or you're in a, everything's big, or, you know, you're on the moon or whatever. I think it's some really cool level design and like the goo that hangs from the ceiling that you gotta, like, I have really fond memories of that. But I don't really remember, you know, having that difficulty in the castle that you did, because you were couch punching mad.
Yeah, I didn't die until I got there, and then I got all the way down to, like, I went from, like, 50 to 8 lives, and some of those jumps were just so sticky. I don't know if it was, like, the Super Nintendo controller maybe making it a little weirder than the Game Boy.
Yeah, because he's Super Game Boy, by the way.
But yeah. I'm not going to make too many excuses. I was just really bad at that part. But I finally did beat it, and I do have fond memories of the game. Like, I would totally play through it again. It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Especially so what's your tips for those who want to beat it?
For those who want to beat it, I would say get a thick couch cushion. Don't be anywhere near your cat or a small animal in case you start to throw your fists around, especially on Wario. When you get to that final stage, it's always good to have the wings if you can hold on to them, because there's some tricky jumps all the way through. And always down jump on the enemies there, because especially the ball, there's a screen where there's some balls floating around. You want to down jump. You want to push down while you're jumping on those.
Spinny thing.
Dispatch them in one hit instead of bouncing around and getting killed. That's my tip on that.
There you go. Good tipper.
Good tipper. I beat a game on the NES that I've had for a really long time. I got it complete in box, actually, just bragging. No reason to tell you that. It's called Dragon Spit.
Is it?
Nah, it's Dragon Spirit.
Because that's fire.
Where you are riding a dragon. It's a shooter where you're riding a dragon.
That sounds awesome.
And you're shooting fire out of your face.
Is it like a shmup?
It is just like a vertical shmup.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Some folks, after I beat it, I kind of like to go and read what other people thought about it. You know, I don't want to bias myself before if I've never heard of the game. And a lot of people are like, yeah, it's pretty cool, but it's really easy. And I was like, man, I just thought it was just right. So, I don't know. Different opinions. But I think
there's like this level of skill that shmup players have. That's
I know.
Like
that's what I was
next
thinking.
Level.
That's why I was like, I still feel like I'm just sort of like the daytime picnic level of
right.
of shmupness.
I like the first three levels of almost every shmup I play.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Those are the only ones I can make it through.
Yeah, and for that one, it really did get a little bit tougher toward the end, but I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I probably started it over 7 times before I beat it.
Nice.
Which, I mean, I think that says a lot about how well you can progress. I mean, there's 7 levels, so you're basically gaining a level each playthrough, and yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really do enjoy that kind of game, but I always hit this wall every time I try to play through one of those, every time.
Yeah, I think my issue with shmups in the past has always been, like, I didn't give it enough time because I didn't really know how long the game was. And I found out that most of them aren't long and that I was actually getting decently far when I topped out. So, you know, if you get to level 3, you're probably halfway through most of the games.
Gotcha.
You know, especially the classic ones. If it's a vertical shmup, things like R-Type and those kinds of things are Gradius are just grueling, hard games.
Yeah.
But some of the other ones,
that's very true.
They're doable. More doable than you even thought.
Yeah.
Also,
tips for that one?
Tips for Dragon Spirit would be just keep trying it. I think that's the important thing.
Perseverance.
Yeah, that's what I did. Just kept going at it. There was a couple times where I got, you know, a little frustrated and thought the hit detection was a little bit wonky. But, you know, if you just stick with it, you'll get it. Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle.
What in the world are you playing Looney Tunes games for?
Why not? They're so fun.
Are they?
They're so fun. They're so colorful. Okay. This one in particular, not that fun, but colorful. No, it's an NES game where you basically, you're in a castle. It's a crazy castle. They overuse the word crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
It's not that crazy. You know, it just looks like a castle to me, but there's carrots, and you got you don't have any actual offense, but you can, like, set traps or run things into the guys chasing you who happen to be like Daffy Duck, Sylvester, Yosemite Sam.
Okay, so it's a feud.
Yeah, you just got to dodge them. You just basically got to mislead them. They'll go down certain pathways, and you got to sort of go around them to get all the carrots in a level, and then you move on. There's 60 stages. I mean, that's just the game you just keep playing. Like,
that's heavy.
Every time you finish a stage, you get an extra man. So, like, if you just start playing it and you don't stop playing it, you'll beat it.
You know?
That's essentially it. Yeah.
Cool.
So it's totally doable. Totally super easy.
Totally.
Do you have one you want to throw out here?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and mention Super Mario Gland.
Oh, where's that?
Well, it's right there, just north of the pituitaries.
What does it control?
It controls the mustache.
It's actually really good. Yeah.
Now, it's Super Mario Land, and this is the predecessor to the one that Trav beat actually on the same day.
Very different games, though, yeah?
Entirely different games, and I really liked it because I had played the second one but never played the first one. I don't think I'd ever even seen it, really. I just, you know, grabbed two as a lad, but this one, you can definitely tell it was a launch Game Boy title. Like, graphics not terribly sharp, sprites are pretty small, a little bit wonky on the physics, and the jumps weren't quite perfect. 4 worlds, 3 levels each, but pretty fun and not terribly challenging, but I think I had to play through the first 3 worlds around 4 or 5 times before I had enough goods, meaning extra lives and power-ups and stuff, to make it through the final bits. because they did throw a lot at you in, I think it was World 3, mm-hmm. where you got like these spiders that are jumping and the spiders that are coming down. You got these little narrow platforms you got to jump on and spikes are falling. And yeah, so there's a lot going on in that level. But I really did like it. I mean, I think the key to beating that one in general is just practice, really, because there's no that and don't hold down unless you need to, because like there were so many times when you were watching me play where I would just be like
slippery. Huh?
It's just really slippery. It's like if you hold down and hit B or just barely touch forward, man, you're just going to like hug the earth until you fall down a pit.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
There were some very comedic deaths in some of your runs, like some where you would just immediately fall off the edge, which cracked me up so bad. It reminded me of Peter Griffin just falling through the door straight down, you know, yes. like there's no animation between him standing and hitting, just the noise.
Or falling through or stepping through the staircase.
Yeah. Yeah. That should crack me up every single time.
And then there were a couple of times where I would jump and just like bounce off what I, my head hit and down into
a straight
pit.
Down. Yeah.
I mean, classic platformer deaths, but just always funny.
It's always funny when it's around a buddy, but if you're by yourself,
you're just angry.
You're just angry.
Yep.
Another one that I beat, some of my New Year's resolutions were to beat a game on five different of my obscure consoles, which included the Jaguar, TurboGrafx, Sega Saturn, Sega CD, and the Master System.
Yes.
Well, another resolution was to beat five fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a twofer.
Nice.
I beat Kasumi Ninja on the Jaguar.
Okay.
Kasumi Ninja is...
How was that?
A terrible game.
Terrible.
I should just say that playing a fighting game on the Jaguar is like playing a fighting game on a rotary telephone.
Nice.
Because that's exactly how it feels.
Okay.
And Kasumi Ninja, I mean, I think there are some good concepts there, but it's so dumb. Everything's so dumb. Like one of the guys wears a kilt and his special move is to lift up his kilt and shoot a fireball out of his crotch. Funny the first time until he hits you with it like 15 times. I mean, playing the computer in that game, you have to cheese it. Like I had to constantly jump in the air, do a flying kick, and then stagger them backward and then immediately hit and do a leg sweep over and over again. And like I never had time to do a special move, or if I did, I got obliterated or I got lucky if I got it off.
Mm.
Like it was just that hateful of a game.
Sounds awful.
But I was able to pretty much cheese it to beat it, which doesn't make me feel good about beating it, but I did get credits on it, so there's that. So my tip for beating that game is to go to your t-shirt drawer, go all the way down to the bottom, get your least favorite one. It's one that you haven't worn in a while, it's why it's on the bottom.
Yeah.
Get it tied in a knot around your leg, about thigh high, and then take a gun and shoot below that. And then play the game, because it's going to it's equal. Like it's going to cancel out. You're not going to feel anything. You'll feel worse about the Kasumi Ninja, and it'll be fine. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know how those two relate, but I feel like it'll just be better if you shoot yourself in the fucking kneecaps.
If you're bleeding out, it's probably about the same as playing that game.
If you're lucky, you'll die before you beat it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Maybe that's where I was going with that.
Okay.
Another one that I beat was Samurai Showdown.
Samurai Showdown. Now, this is a game that I tried to play not too long ago on Xbox 360 because mm-hmm. it's on the Game Pass. And I played about, I don't know, 3.5-4 rounds and uninstalled that shit.
Yeah. I wish I had done that, because 3 hours later after I beat it, I didn't feel better about it.
Mm-mm.
And I tried several different characters. I got stuck so many times. I got so mad. And the thing was, a lot of the moves require like the old sort of Street Fighter move controls, where you kind of roll your finger across the directional pad to do a move or whatever. But this I don't remember if all Sega Genesis controllers are like this, but the D-pad for mine kind of rolls, so
right.
It's kind of on a little bit of a track pad,
like
but not
dish,
much so
they're
yeah, like a dish, so there yeah. are the intermediate directions are there, so sometimes I would do the roll and maybe go a little bit too far without meaning to, or like the whole thing would shift up, and so instead of going forward I would go up and toward the enemy and just jump into them, and they would just maul me to death. And that happens so
awful
many times. At least in that one, there's some neat stuff. I mean, it's way better than Kasumi Ninja. At least there, you can have characters with weapons that do fun things. All the special attacks aren't too hard to do. You can pull a lot of them off. They actually matter. But there are some fights that are just nearly impossible without cheesing it a little bit.
Gross.
So my tip for that one would be to do the exact same thing with Kasumi Ninja. Maybe don't shoot yourself in the leg. Just shove the game in your ass, because
nice.
That's where it belongs. Because it's also not that great.
The game is ass. So
now, there are sequels to that I'm wondering. They
yeah,
must be
I
better.
Wonder. Yeah,
they
I mean,
have to
they have to improve.
And this was a Genesis port, so maybe it's better natively elsewhere. But I didn't particularly have fun with either of those.
It sounds like they're awful. So you need to get on some good fighting games, you know?
Kasumi Ninja was really just a knockoff to
that makes sense.
Things there. And Samurai Showdown, I had some Japanese food earlier that night, and I was just in the mood.
It happens.
Yeah, so. It happens. But let's come clean. So later tonight, we're expecting to beat a game.
Yes.
And we don't want to talk about it anymore after today.
Basically.
And that's the Evil
we're,
Within.
We're on the final chapter of The Evil Within, as you mentioned. We're doing that Menage Bro with Brian. We've been playing.
That's three bros, one game.
Three bros, one game. This has been ongoing for, what, four or five play sessions? Six?
Several.
Maybe.
Too many.
This game, I think I can give it an honest opinion now because we're at the final chapter. I'm not going to spoil anything story-wise. But this game, I kind of understand why hardcore horror survival fans like it because it is very much kind of a callback or a bit of a throwback to some of the sweet spots of what Resident Evil was doing when they were kind of on top of their game before the recent resurgence with 7. But there's some really weird mechanics in this game. Like, it's a bit clunky. Camera work's not great. Things are a bit slow when you don't want them to be and fast when you don't want them to be. So it's like kind of imbalanced in terms between motion and actually getting things done. Because like almost every action that you do, whether it's pulling a switch or turning a wheel or opening a door or closing a door or opening a drawer, everything takes for fucking ever in that game.
Yeah.
And it sort of throws off your pace when you're in a hurry. You're just like, I'm going to open this door. And then your character just stands there for like, I don't know, 3 seconds or something. It seems like forever. I do really like parts of it. I think it's got a cool vibe. It does feel a bit mishmash and thrown together, but there's kind of reasons for that story-wise that I won't go into. But be kind of glad to get this one, you know, knocked out and done.
Yeah, I think having played, you know, gone back and played like old Resident Evil and all that other stuff and Alien Isolation and Zombie U, some games that share a lot of the same even mechanics and vibes and all that other stuff. This game, I think, is like okay in that regard. Like,
is a 6 for me.
It hits around average compared to a lot of the other experiences I've had, and I don't know that it's particularly aged all that well. I imagine Evil Within 2 is a lot better, but I think the story really is what holds me back from really liking it because I think all the shortcomings it has mechanically, I've kind of learned to overcome in other games that are. Like, we played through, like, several hours of Fatal Frame when it had the worst camera control ever. And I still enjoyed it. We just could beat it.
Right.
Okay. But this one, I feel like I have no buy-in to this story. I can't follow it. I think a lot of the enemies are interesting looking and mean and hateful and scary. But I don't know what it all means. And I don't know if we just stopped paying attention to the dialogue because it lost us. Or maybe it's just
I don't think it does a good job of presenting itself.
It really doesn't. And like, I get what you're saying. Like, the whole point of it is to be wacky. Like, you're supposed to be, you know, sort of in this basically maniacal prison of someone's mind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's supposed to be just completely batshit. But I don't think, for me personally, that doesn't really, like, strike me.
Yeah. I think it was a little too loose with the story threads.
A little bit. I think that's my biggest hang-up with it, honestly.
Nice.
I think if it had a better theme strung through it,
stronger character,
certainly overlook a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah, but
I definitely don't like our main character either.
No, he's kind of a piece of cardboard.
He totally is.
But I'm excited to get that one done, and by the time that you hear this, it should be done.
Yeah, and if it's not, we'll be honest. We'll
quit.
We'll quit or own up to it.
No, we'll own up to it next time. But yeah, we certainly intend to finish that later tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Cool beans.
It's time for the hashtag Just Beat It. Now, we're going to be doing a little something different with the hashtag Just Beat It. Don't get too excited or don't get too just disappointed.
Flustered.
Or whatever. We're going to keep them. Everything that you've hashtag Just Beat It will be accounted for by us in some fashion. But we're going to only be highlighting the main polykillers here on the show. So those that were beating a whole bunch of games each week or each couple weeks will get recognized here in classic hashtag Just Beat It fashion.
Yes, 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 yes.
The rest of the hashtag Just Beat It will come out in a separate video where we're going to have a different kind of fun with your submissions. This is all in an effort to keep the show rolling, keep the segment manageable, because there were starting to be a lot of submissions, and you guys know we can't make the whole podcast reading stupid shit about about people's games. But so we
and also this is an easy ploy for us to have fodder to make more video content.
It really is, and I actually think the video content version of this will be a lot more fun than this segment has been,
because it's going to be just pretty much just goofy entertainment.
It's going to be fun.
So, yeah.
So, Steve, I don't know when that'll come out because I'm going to have a busy weekend, but expect it to come out in the same week that the podcast does.
Yeah, it'll be around.
All right. So, we got two. We're going to do two. We had two big-time Polykillers this week.
Hey, hey.
How are you okay at How are you zero K?
Mm-hmm.
Finished Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Power Instinct, Donkey Kong Country, Ease 3, and Batman Returns. When Batman does return, he finds Robin thrusting away at a fresh jar of peanut butter in their shared apartment.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
All right. Curtis at Curtis Frizzell. I think I'm saying that right. Maybe it's Frizzle. I don't know. I'm going to say Frizzell. Who once dressed as Robin, broke into Batman's apartment and made sweet love to some smooth Jiffy, completed Wild Guns, Clay Fighter Tournament, Incantation, and Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel.
Well, we got down to the bottom of that one.
Whew.
Making love to some smooth jiffy. You want to make sure it's smooth jiffy. If you hit some crunchy jiffy on that first thrust,
boom,
you're done for. Pull it out. Stick it in jelly because it is over.
Move to the marmalade.
All right.
Yeah,
yay. Now, so that was your Just Beat It segment.
Yeah, yay.
Once again, look out for that hashtag Just Beat It video to drop here very soon. You're going to like it.
Absolutely.
Now it's time for restocking the log. Restocking the log.
Wow.
This is where we add games back on to the pile of shame that we just cleaned off that pile of shame. Now we're going to
we just dusted one off. Now, if you notice, I really only beat two games this interval, and actually only one of them were on my backlog. So, just saying, a lot of the games I've beaten this year so far, which I will bring up, I have already beaten half of the number of games so far this year that I beat last year.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's helping you out is you're tackling some games that are a little
manageable.
Bit easier to manage. Yeah. Yeah, you're not going after your Witcher 3s, Persona 5s, Horizon Zero Dawns, Monster Hunter. Well, you want to have Monster Hunter, but you know what I mean. So you kept it manageable, and I think that's helped you out a little bit. I think you've gotten a little more into it.
Yeah.
You don't feel as, I don't know that you ever felt particularly pressured to beat games, but maybe for the podcast you did. I don't know, maybe it was a little bit.
Like, so. I mean, I really do enjoy that, and I think, you know, I think more than anything I like experiencing games more than beating games, but I do enjoy the catharsis of getting them credits.
That's a good way to get around the fact that you just don't beat games is to be like, I just like to experience
them.
That's
true.
I like to get maybe an hour, 2 hours in, and that's what I pay $60 to do.
I rarely pay anything for games. I steal most of them.
That's true. We'll get to that later.
Absolutely.
So, restocking the log.
Restocking the log. Sorry.
I'm adding a couple old Punch-Out games, Jake. I've never... Now, you inspired me here last week. You came over, you whooped Mike Tyson right in my house.
Right in your house.
And I've never had the patience to go all the way through the Punch-Outs.
It's such a fun game. Like, I really enjoy every bit of that game. I enjoy the presentation. I enjoy the little jogging scenes and that sweet pink onesie.
Mm-hmm.
I like the passwords. Like, all, I mean, just everything about that game. I like the title screen. It goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do and then punches through.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it all. And I'm really glad you're going to take the time to tackle these. Now, have you started yet?
Oh, I've started. Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, I'd had a password written down from where I had made it all the way to the last tier of fighters before.
Okay. And, so you're picking up with Bald Bold 2?
Picking up with Piston Honda 2.
Piston Honda 2. Okay.
Yeah. And so I've always made it to, I think I might have even made it to Super Macho Man and died on him.
Hmm.
So, yeah. This is on regular Punch-Out,
right.
By the way. So I've made it to the end in the past and just not gotten past the last fighter. I did the same thing on Super Punch-Out. I've made it all the way to the end, and just when I got to the last guy, I was like, ah.
Just fatigued?
Yeah, and just never came back to it, and then which sucks because then you forget everything that you learned because it is a bit of a...
It's a timing game.
Yeah, you want to keep a lot of that stuff fresh because it's helpful.
Now, I've never beaten Super Punch-Out. I need to do that next time I come over.
Next time you come over, let's do Punch-Out Night.
Punch-Out Night!
We know what I really want to get for the game room because I occasionally do have a mild tantrum. I try to control a little
bit. Bag?
And sometimes I get a little wild for show, like I get like overly mad just to be animated.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get really fucking mad to where I don't feel healthy, and I think it would be nice to take up my aggression on like a little punching bag or a little punching man or something. I think that'd be healthier
Let's
than just
it.
Bottling it up or biting my controller or yelling, you know, fuck at the top of my lungs at midnight. So
I've got hand wraps and 16-ounce gloves that I can bring over, and we can just go at it.
Just pound on your bag.
Absolutely.
All right, bring it over.
Hey,
what about you? What are you adding?
I added Kingdom Come Delivery. I mean, Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Oh.
Yeah, so I talked about that game a little bit up front. It's a pretty engrossing. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit. There are some bugs in this game. It's not perfect. I think all of its issues can be addressed in patches or updates to the title. I did get it on Xbox One. So it is Xbox One X enhanced. So really the only enhancement is that it is up-res to 1440p. It does hold a decent steady 30 frames per second. There's no HDR because Crytek 3.6.8 or whatever they used didn't support HDR. But it is a beautiful game at times. Sometimes the indoor lighting isn't great, but I think that's a problem with all video games in general, not just this one. But this is a very story-driven RPG, which is really nice because, like, a lot of the Western RPGs that we play, like your Fallout, your Skyrim, any of the Elder Scrolls, they tend to be, you know, your character is just kind of a voiceless avatar, right? You're embodying this shell of a character and wandering around. This one is more along the lines of a Witcher, where you have already a defined character with, you know, you do have some choice in how you respond. You know, when it comes to dialogue and things like that, but he's a well fleshed out character. Like the first 2 hours of this game is some really good, character building. Some of the best I've seen in a while, actually. Combat is very fucking difficult though. Like, near the start of the game, you have to make this escape. And I was running, and I was pretty sure, like, I had a sword at this point. And I was like, you know what? This guy chasing me, I'm going to take him. I'm going to practice my combat, I'm going to take him. And I probably tried to kill him, I don't know, 20, 25 times.
Wow.
Could not. I eventually came to realize I think it was just part of the game pushing me to run and not fight. Because I had some encounters later and got the better of them. But it's difficult. I think it's somewhere along the lines of a chivalry and maybe a little bit like For Honor, where it's more zone-based. So you pick, like, I want to attack upper left, and then you can either do a stab or a swing. And but you also have to block and dodge yourself
so very
manually.
Intricate.
Very intricate. It's very strategic. So it's not like your Skyrim where you just start swinging or
right.
whatever. So that took a little getting used to, because the pace is definitely more meticulous in that. But I really do like it. I think it's pretty engrossing. The setting is really cool. Like the big city that you get to eventually, Rete, however they say it. it's very immersive. Like if you look at a city like the Imperial City, or maybe, you know, Winterhold in Skyrim or something like that, everything's put together for presentation. Like, it's basically built to be a set piece of, you know, beauty. It's like, the cities in this game are just very functional. They're massive, but you can't see shit in them because, like all the buildings are high, and like the roads are just basically ditches and there's mud everywhere. So it's very realistic. It's not like built for show. It's like, this is a very functional design. So
right.
I really like it. I really do. I recommend, if you're interested in this type of game, you pick it up. Maybe wait till it gets patched a little bit, but I think it's worth it.
Very nice, man. And I just looked up here. I know we looked up earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week, and no one had beaten it yet, so there was no time on it. But it looks like people are clocking in with the main story at about 46 hours, and then just casual players are between 55 and 65. So
yeah, since then I had heard 70 hours is how much time you can spend in the game. So it's decent size there, you know. And it's pretty cool because it is based in history, so like the villains are actual assholes from real life to hate.
Right, that's right, because as you point out, there's no magic or sci-fi or fantasy here. It's all
set in 1403 in the Kingdom of Bohemia. King Wenceslas is the new king, and he's kind of lazy and lethargic, and a Hungarian king who's his half-brother comes in and is like, I think I can do a better job than you, forces him to abdicate and becomes a real prick. So it's pretty cool.
So, it's like quest-based?
It is quest-based.
So, how do they keep the quests interesting without a lot of this fantasy and whimsical, you know, sort of frills?
Yeah, it's, so far, everything that I've played is character building. So, it's, like, it's escape after a siege. Find this guy, see if he'll take you in his service. If he does, then get trained up as a knight, learn your craft. And then once you get trained up as a knight, then you start getting sent on these missions, which then kind of lead you on other threads, because you have a personal vendetta against this guy's army. But you're also serving the greater good at the same time.
Is there a lot of exposition? I imagine there being a lot.
There's a great deal of exposition. Thankfully, the voice acting is actually top notch in this.
Really?
It's really good. I don't think the lip syncing is quite meant for English. I think it's meant for maybe Polish or something, because it doesn't look quite right. Either that or they just weren't great at it. But the voice acting itself is very well grounded and sounds realistic. And sometimes it can get a little, I guess, they can get a little verbose, but it's good. It's very enthralling, actually, to me. If you're interested in this kind of setting, I think you'd like it.
Very cool, man. Yeah, I'm becoming more and more interested about the game just because it's removed a lot of, you know, the things that make a video game and sort of said, okay, you want some, you know, like chivalry or whatever, which is not right. quite realistic, but tries to be.
Yeah.
This actually is trying to be a realistic sort of, you know, I keep wanting to say fantasy, but like
right. it's an adventure.
Medieval. Yeah. Is it medieval? Is that the?
Yeah, it's. I guess it's definitely Dark Ages.
I like that time, and I think that's why I like a lot of the fantasy games that are based around that time.
Sure.
I'm wondering what it would be like to experience that more a simulation-y. Not really.
And actually, there are some sort of semi bits where you have to eat.
Yeah.
So like, if you get hungry, your stamina doesn't fill all the way back up. So
right.
if you're hungry and you haven't eaten for a few days or a few hours or whatever, then you get in a fight. You're not going to be able to do as well as if you were feeding yourself better.
Yeah, you gotta be careful what you eat. You might get plague.
You might get plague.
You don't want.
You
that.
Can also get addicted to drugs and alcohol in the game. So
nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. Got to have that in the games.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think that does it for what we've restocked the log
yeah.
with. If you'd like to restock your log,
hey.
I see you there winking at me, big boy, head on over to Cowden.tech. This episode and all of our episodes are sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email over to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. And we'd like to thank Cowden Tech for all their sponsorship, and a lot of that sponsorship money is going to go to help get that banquet hall in Chicago for the ChikartridgeCon that's coming up.
Yeah.
Something that we need to start remembering to remind people that if you're going to ChikartridgeCon, which I don't know who named it that, but if you want to go to Chicago and you'll get to see, you know, these Polykill fellows along with a few members of the club that are going to try to make it out there, and includes other podcasts like, I believe, Masters of Unlocking for certain, the Flock of Nerds, and of course the Great Musty Hobbit will be there, and the Q Dogs, and I better not start now because I'll never finish naming them all, but you know who you are that are coming. Go over the easiest way to find out how to book a room is to find Diego Avila at A Latino Lawyer on Twitter. Go to his profile, look at the pinned tweet, and it has a link to how you get a room there. It's going to be July 26th through the 30th in the Skokie Holiday Inn in downtown Chicago. We'd like to see you there. If you like what you're hearing so far, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. We don't do much with it, but we plan to now that we've got that YouTube URL. YouTube.com/Polykill Podcast. We own it. We got it. It's ours. No one else can have it, I don't think. And
I don't think it can be taken back.
I'm not sure, but we will fight them if they try to take it.
We'll see.
But now that we got that up, maybe we'll do something on Facebook. You know, one thing at a time around here, cartridgeclub.org, it's short for organism.
Orgasm.
That's where you can find us along with all of our friends, including the Media Mavens, STC Pod,
Bonus
Retro Fandango, Bonus Barrel, Flock of Nerds. Once again, if I get started, I'm going to forget people that don't want to do that. Polykill.com is where you can find just us if you're into that. You can buy t-shirts, check out blogs, find all of our videos, including the Rusty ones and the Polykill and the pickup videos, as well as anything Jake plans to do in the future, which he is planning to do. If you notice, the Hot Jake segment has been mysteriously mixed from the show. Where did it go? We'll find out soon. You can always send your childhood mischief stories to polykillpodcast@gmail.com or drop us a line anytime. We'd like to hear from you. We're on Spotify.
Yeah,
that's easy to find. You just go in there and find it. Now you can't find it on the browser version. That's the only version. If you got Spotify on your phone, or you download the full on Spotify app for your computer, podcasts are on there. It's not the browser version. I don't know why.
Go figure.
Who knows? Please, whatever you do, the thing that helps us the most, more than anything, more than really than you probably even listening to the show, is to go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, or rate us anywhere that you listen to us.
Yeah, thumbs up, a heart, whatever it takes.
We'd really appreciate it. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's move into, we have a bit of a eulogy for another segment. We're cleaning the house.
We're changing it up a little bit, guys.
Trying to streamline it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Trying to make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's not to say anything is permanent. We're just going to try some things out here.
Absolutely.
But we are saying goodbye to the long play and side quest segments. And this week we're saying goodbye to them, perhaps for good. The content will still be here in all future episodes. We'll definitely talk about games that we're playing on the side and long term.
Yeah.
But it was making less and less sense to break the two apart, seeing as we usually get to the long play and we've been playing the same games for months, and it's not really that interesting. And you know, we don't really talk about it long. It doesn't seem like it, you know, is deserving of that grandiose transition that we give it. And we really were only keeping it in the episodes because we liked singing long play so
that's
much.
That's basically it.
And so it was getting to a point where it's like, let's just be real. We don't really need that.
Yeah.
So from now on, this section will be combined. And, you know, to have some fun, we're going to have a new jingle to go with that, you know, to stay in Polykill, Polykill way of doing things.
That fun bit is not leaving.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a fun bit. It just won't be long play. So
now all you listeners now, you can tell your grandkids, like, I remember Polykill when they had the long play.
That's right. When we're still doing this in 2063.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so for the last time on Polykill, join us with one more
long play.
Yeah. Got to go all out with that one.
Absolutely.
All right, so my long play, yeah, just Persona 5.
Yeah, here you go. And mine is Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, nothing real new to add. I guess I can say that I'm finished through the fourth palace.
That's impressive.
Which I believe there are 7 total in the game. I don't know why I know that. I don't know how I heard that, if I just thought it or dreamed it. I think there are 7. There might not be. There might be more, might be less. But I definitely feel like I'm closing in on more than halfway through the game, or at least am halfway. But I'm loving it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm still tinkering around in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
No, Breath of the Wild what?
Yeah, Breath of the Wild, you know, I'm still jumping around there. I got...
Actually, that was Birth in the Child, or Birth in the... What, Birth in the Child? Don't say that on air. Birth in the Wild.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Birth of the Wild. I'm sorry.
I don't know
Birth
what
in the Wild. Right.
Birth in the Wild is what I meant to say. Because
no, that's fair. Maybe you did.
Actually, no, I didn't mean to say that. You meant for me to say that.
That's true.
I don't know that I did say that.
We've made this awful.
I love it. In general, though, I'm still... around a little bit. I haven't spent as much time with it in the last couple of weeks, given just life in general and Kingdom Come delivery.
That's gross, though.
Wanted to check it, you know, so spent a little time in there. But on to the next.
Yeah, so side quests.
Yes.
Games that we don't tell the long play about.
Hmm, yeah.
That's the last time that we're going to be talking about side quests or long plays. We might still use the words, but
yeah,
we're definitely giving up the trademark. I played some games that I'd already beaten in the past. I had a buddy come over, and he, you know, people come in, they're like, what's some games that we can beat?
Yeah, that's how we do it.
I got kind of a list going. I'm like, well, okay. This was a new buddy. You know, he's not a new buddy, but he's a...
New game-beating buddy.
New game-beating buddy, right.
Yeah.
And so he was interested in what games he could beat, and he was actually very mindful. He says, is there any games on your backlog that you haven't beat yet that I could help you beat? And I was like, you're a good friend, but let's warm up on a few that I have beaten. That way, you know, I can figure out, you know, what we're worth.
You were basically just trying to benchmark his skill, weren't you?
A little bit, but like, what are you into? Yeah. I kind of want to gauge his interest in games. I'm like, oh, you like beat-em-ups? I got some beat-em-ups we can roll in and get beat up on.
Yeah.
But played Turtles 4, Turtles in Time.
Nice.
Beat that. And Final Fight 2, which I've now beaten 3 times in the last month because I've anybody that wants to beat a game, like, this game's easy as shit. Whoever wants to beat this with me, let's beat it. If you want to put it on your list, we'll do it. I'll help. So
very nice. I need to do that. I need to come over and beat,
dude,
Final
we beat
Fight
it. 2. Yeah, it takes like 30 minutes. We'll just fucking straight through.
Totally do that.
It's like the easiest beat 'em up I've ever played. And then also obviously Punch Out, which I talked about.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. Me side quests. I guess I'm playing Kingdom Come Deliverance. I guess I should also mention that I have. Recently, I guess, continued to dabble or resurgence of dabblement with Overwatch. They had the Year of the Dog, the Lunar New Year event going on. They had a cosmetics refresh going on. So I thought I'd jump back in there, play a few matches, see how the meta has shaken up, see what the new maps are like. Because it's been a while since I played. Jumped in there, played some matches with P1, Musty, my buddy David. So had a...
Were you rusty?
Good fun? No, actually, I jumped back in. They really didn't sort of tweak the characters that I generally main, so which is Reaper and D.Va. So I jumped back in there and still kicked ass. So it was really cool. Had a lot of fun and got a few new skins, and it was just fun, just kind of getting the gang back together for a few Overwatch matches. It was
nice,
a good time.
Nice, man. Hopefully that gang will move over with us to Sea of Thieves on 320 Blaze It.
320 Blaze It, yeah, just a little over a month away.
Can't wait.
Under a month.
I wish you get to talk about that next radar.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about 320 Blaze It.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're ready for the Disgash.
We're not doing away with the Disgash.
It's never going away. Jake, this was your idea. Why don't you take it away here?
Yeah, so this is something that kind of came up on the Discord. It crossed my mind a lot, actually, here lately. And then I guess Frantic mentioned it a little bit. And then it's always around this time of month, which is sort of like the third week of every month, that speculation begins and rumors and then confirmation about what the next, I'm going to throw quotes around this, free games are going to be from PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Games with Gold. And got me thinking about a couple of different aspects of it. So I kind of made this outline with some actual data in here about Games with Gold and PS Plus, and felt we'd break that down a little bit, discuss what we think our value of it is, and take it from there. So I guess to begin, just quick background on PlayStation Plus. So they offer two games, in case you didn't know, two games per month for PS4, two games for PS3, and two games for Vita each month.
Wow, that's and all that under one
all that
membership,
under one membership, one paywall for that. It did start the Instant Game Collection, as it once was known. I'm not sure if it still is known as that. It started in June of 2010, and to date, there have been 551 games provided across all three systems.
That's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. Like, if you look at that list, it's expansive, and it some of them are, you know, very forgettable. Some of them are, but they're for launch as smaller indie games. Some of them are old AAA games. We'll get into that a little bit more, but there's a lot there. So Games with Gold, it took Xbox and Microsoft a little longer to get around to this model of giving away games with their subscription to their online service. Because if you recall, when these services started, specifically Xbox Live Gold, you got nothing for it. Like, you couldn't even fucking use Netflix for this shit. You had to, like, own Gold to even use Netflix. It was the most redundant thing that one could do. But then in July of 2013, Games with Gold started, and they have been giving away two games for Xbox One, two games for Xbox 360, and as of last, well, I guess 2015, October, I think was the month, they're giving away two games on Xbox 360 as well, which are now backward compatible onto Xbox One. They've given away 201 games across all systems since its inception a little over 5 years ago. So, a lot of data, but I thought that would be a nice base. So, let's talk about some notable games that we've played from those, because I think that'll be a kind of a barometer for where the discussion will go. What about you, Trav?
Well, I did a little more than notable, because I was actually going through the list and trying to determine which ones I actually had played.
Now, you don't have PS Plus, right?
I think I do, but I haven't.
You're not.
I got Until Dabbled. Dawn, but I haven't played that yet. So plan to, you could maybe count it, because I do anticipate that I will play it at some point. But so that's only one, and I've only had PS Plus for a couple of months, not long.
Gotcha.
So
great of an impact on you.
Right. I've had Xbox Live since I've had an Xbox, which was, you know, been 7-8 years at this point.
Yeah.
So back in 2013, when it first cut loose, I was very thrifty. I was much thriftier back then, and also didn't I don't know what it was, but I was more apt to play a free game that came out, because I think I was still trying to catch up to games that I hadn't quite played.
That makes sense, because you were a late adapter, right?
Yeah, I was just getting, I hadn't had the 360 for terribly long, a couple years at the time, and I guess I had a one in 2013. When did I get an Xbox One? When did Mad Max come out?
I guess it was 2015. Around the we started the podcast.
Right.
Because like one of the third or fourth episode, you're like, I finally got an Xbox One.
Right. Okay. So the Games with Gold. Yeah. So I was still trying to catch up, because I hadn't had the Xbox 360 long. I hadn't been back into games long. I had been off doing, you know, other things and
Sports
got back
tale.
Into gaming. Yeah.
I don't know.
And so a lot of it was for me catching up, and it was great that a lot of these games were free. Like Assassin's Creed 2, that was the first Assassin's Creed game that I played because it was free. And then Crackdown came out, and I played that with Brian, and Magic the Gathering came out, and I learned how to play Magic through that game. Halo 3 was great, because I just finished Halo 2, and I was like, this is fucking perfect. Played this one too. And then Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, just like a little game that I expected to play for 10 minutes and ended up pouring like 40 hours into and fucking loved. Like all that in 2013, And like that's a pretty decent amount of games, like five games. And I think when did you say it started in 2013?
June.
So that's like a half month, half a year worth of free stuff. I sunk. That's probably the games I spent the most time on. Then 2014, Sleeping Dogs, Lara Croft, Hitman, Deadlight, Dust. I love Dishonored. So still played a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. But then this is where it starts to drop off. And I don't know. This is maybe something we'll talk about. Was it the games or was it just maybe I pick up that Xbox One and there were some newer shinier stuff I was trying to get a hold of around that time. Mm. But that's when it dropped off. 2015, I only played Brothers and Thief. Thief was fucking awful. 2016, Beyond Good and Evil and Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which is just an add-on, really. Just basically a DLC.
And then
I haven't played any since then. Since 2016, I've not played a single one. So it's been over 2 years. And I've not played a single free game.
That's wild.
Yeah, I've downloaded all of them.
Because you just have to.
Yeah.
You never know. With me, I guess I'm going to hit the notable ones. I guess I'll be a more concise list than you. I've played more, but like the ones that I kind of stuck with me. On Xbox, I really didn't have a 360 at the time when this was offered. I had a One when this was offered. So Killer Instinct, which was a free to download and play game, but they did offer deluxe content for it for Games with Gold. So like there's like a season one, a season two, and a season three, and they gave away season one and two, I think.
Yeah, it was like a model they were trying out, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And but that one actually stuck with me more than I thought it was going to. Slime Rancher for the Xbox One. Delightful, colorful, fun, little just sort of management sim where you've got different slimes that you harvest and whatnot. I think I've talked about that a little on the podcast. It's fun. And then another one that comes to mind is Numa Breath of Life. This was a first-person Myst-style puzzle game. I really enjoyed that. On PlayStation, Rocket League, that was the big one. They dropped Rocket League as a free game on PS4 at launch. So immediately they had millions of people ready to play this. So that was really cool because it allowed everyone to just get into matches online immediately without having to wait in a queue for ages to, you know, find a match or whatever. And it really just sort of pushed the Rocket League hype train through the roof. Mm-hmm. Rezogun, this was the very first game that I had on PlayStation. It was offered the very first month. This is made by Housemarque. It's an arcade twin stick shooter, but it's a shmup, but it's actually based on a cylinder rather than like a globe like Super Stardust or just like a traveling path like a shmup. You just kind of went back and around and up and down the side of the cylinder, and it's one of the most beautiful games that you'll ever play, and it's fun and addictive, and I still play that game. So I highly recommend that one if you haven't played it. And then lastly, with the last big one that I played, I guess, was Gauntlet Slayer Edition. That was been a couple years. So I guess what I'm trying to point out here is
according to your list, it looks like I played a lot more of like the games that I caught up with, and you used the free games for some stuff that you might not have even ever bought.
It's essentially what happened.
Yeah.
Because I probably wouldn't have bought Rezogun.
So there's some, you're basically showing there's a lot of value for you in terms of like finding some diamonds in the rough.
There has been. Yeah.
But you certainly don't rely on it for games as I did in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't. And I used to get, we'll get to that in a minute. Some more stats real quick. Xbox Games with Gold in 2017. So let's take the last year. I got this from Polygon. I just sort of robbed some of the stats that they ran. So the average Metacritic score for the games that Xbox had in their Games with Gold package last year was a 77.19. That's not bad.
Oh.
That's good.
Yeah.
The average price of each game that they gave away was $21.45.
Okay.
The average age was 4.5 years. That's where things are a little weird.
Some are a little older.
But the total value of games they gave away was $1,029.52. That's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, obviously they're not paying that, but like if you went out to buy every game that they had on Games with Gold, that's what you'd been paying.
So right.
That's some cool value and an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to do PlayStation here, that'll give us some perspective of how
right. Comparison-wise. Yeah. So their average score in 2017 was 71.3, so a little off, but still in the same range for sure.
So that's 6 points, roughly less.
And we have to remember they are giving away two more games per month.
That's right.
Unless there's cross-play, but the Vita version is definitely different than the 4 or the 3 version, so I think it still counts. The average price of each game, $17.40. So a bit of a, you know, about a $4 drop off there. Mm-hmm. Average age, though, 2.5 years. So that's
half the age.
A bit newer.
Yeah.
And total value, $1,287.25.
So pretty close, but a little
close. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fairly comparable. I think the biggest differentiator there is just the age of the games.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know how much you'd put into the average review scores just because I think
that's
audiences
subjective.
For Vita and audiences for some other stuff are pretty different, and the games are different because of that. But.
And I think that with PlayStation, a lot of their instant game collection titles for a month are almost, in a lot of cases, they are just the launch of that game.
So yeah.
It's like, this is the first time this game is available, and you're getting it for free.
Yeah.
So it's like, when this game comes out, it's free. So,
right. So which ups their total value.
Absolutely. Mark. And reduces their age.
Right. Yep.
Yep. So here's some of the questions that I have about this. And once again, shout out to the community that we're in with the club for sort of fostering this, not necessarily that they even knew that they were. So how much longer do we think the free games are going to be offered for these legacy systems, specifically 360, PS3, and Vita? Like, how much longer are they going to keep throwing that free stuff at those systems?
I think they won't stop now. I think it's become expected, and because they got so many people on board with it, and they've maintained it throughout, and you can argue the quality has dropped for a lot of them, but I mean, free is free, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's just become an expected part of the package, because I think about, you know, what else am I paying that money for at this point?
Makes you really wonder, what were you paying for it before they gave one?
Exactly. Like, why was I even paying $60 to chat on a headset when I can do it for free on Steam, and Nintendo's going to shove it out for half or a third of the price?
Yeah.
So what was I even paying for? I mean, are we making up for the loss that they get from releasing and selling the hardware to begin with? And you look at Microsoft, who hasn't had many first party games to make up that deficit.
Right.
We're certainly helping them break even on all the Xbox One derivatives that they've released. So I think giving us some free games, I mean, it can't hurt them. I mean, you look at, like, Steam gives away basically free games all the time,
right,
with their Steam sales.
Mm-hmm.
Humble Bundle,
right?
I mean,
good point.
I don't know how much of a hit that is, but it's, you know, those are pretty cheap, and a lot of times there's some good titles in there.
Yeah, the digital distribution of that, you know, completely erases overhead, so that's another good point.
Yeah. I mean, they're not you know, a physical sale for them is requires some processing and manufacturing and some shipping and all that other stuff, and the digital sale is usually the same price. I mean, I'm talking full price.
Yeah.
So by making it free, they're not really losing anything. They're just, it's a download.
Right.
You know, so I don't think it's terrible for them to
keep going
giving it to us for free. Forever.
Like, I almost suspect, like, I'm honestly still surprised they're giving away PS3 games, more so than Xbox 360
because
games,
of the backwards compatibility that's built straight in.
Well, or? It's just like with PS3, it's like that didn't have a huge install base anyway.
It's true.
Period.
Yeah. There's obviously some decent titles,
but most of those ended up getting ported to PS4 very quickly.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, Last of Us or Shadow of Colossus now, and all these, you know, kind of hallmark titles on PS3. So I don't know really why that's still happening. Vita, especially in North America, I don't understand, you know, because it's tiny install base, but it's a really passionate and quite vocal fan group of the Vita. But, you know, it's dead for all intents and purposes. I mean, they're not really going to do anything else more with it, but
I certainly don't. I mean,
I don't want it to stop.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just surprised that it hasn't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's kind of my thing, especially for those two. I feel like Xbox 360, it was massive. It was the generational winner for sure. And I feel like that tons of people still have those or have them as kind of like an ancillary console for like another TV in the house or for a multiplayer setup. And if you're giving away games for that, people are going to still eat that up. So I don't know. It's interesting to me. I really don't know. Like, I mean, PS5 launch, is that going to be when the PS Vita stuff stops? Who knows?
Yeah.
There's no way in hell they're going to give away 8 free games a month.
I mean, they have the Vita stuff. I mean, there's got to be a marketplace for that stuff that already exists. So
yeah,
it's not like if it goes to PS5, it could still have some, just still a Nintendo term virtual console where you can go in and get that stuff. So, and then if they're going to have it, they might as well give a few free every now and then just to let you know that it's still there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe they'll start off with like reducing to one for PS3 and one for Vita.
I think it'll take one of them. Either Nintendo comes out with something that's so drastically different that everyone loves it and the other two are forced to change, or one of the other two change their model based out of necessity and ends up being a boon and everyone else follows suit. I mean, this Game Pass thing might be the replacement for that.
It's kind of, you know, that was kind of one of the things that was probably going to organically come up, but...
But that's only first-party stuff.
Right,
so
it's only first-party stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, it does a lot of other, you know, 2K is really big in it. Ubisoft is kind of getting in there with Game Pass when it comes to, like, having their titles in there. So I could definitely see that being a viable replacement for it at some point.
Sure.
If you're into it. Now, this is something that I cared about a lot when I first got my PS4, was what games are going to be free next month. I cared a lot. Well, I refreshed pages. It was kind of a big deal.
It makes sense because you have this new console and you don't have a lot of games for it yet.
Right.
And getting as many as you can, and we all like to hoard digital stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I like to hoard the physical stuff too, but
it takes up no space. It's cool. I mean, not actual physical space. Yeah.
I mean, I personally like to get them in this because I have a 2 terabyte hard drive from Xbox One and get them immediately, download them, because I like scrolling through tons of games, finding the game I want. That makes me so happy. I feel like a king. I'm like, look at all these fucking stupid games I have.
Yeah, stuff
that
I'll
never going to play.
Ever.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm with you, though, and not to cut you off, but I was, when I first got the Xbox One, I was all about downloading that as well as the backwards compat game for the Xbox 360, even if I did not give a shit.
Right.
Even if I'd already played it, already owned it, already had it, I want it because I felt like they kind of owed it to me for paying $60 for God knows what at this point.
Exactly. I don't think I care as much anymore, though.
Really?
You know, and I think it's probably because that most of the games that I want to spend time with are what I would consider, you know, quality top tier games, or at least something different.
Stuff you know is not going to be free anytime soon.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that a lot of the titles that are being offered now are, you know, stuff that I've either already played because I bought it when it was new, or it's stuff that I really just have had no interest in buying, you know, 4 years ago when it came out, or even now. It's like Knack is coming to PlayStation Plus. And it's like Knack, the launch, you know, PS4 game that most people didn't really care for. I'm sure it's got some fans, but, you know, I really feel like we should have gotten Knack 2 years ago.
For free?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I care, but definitely less and less these days because I think, like you were saying, I'm basically caught up to all of the older stuff from the current generation.
At least all the stuff I cared about, yeah.
Which is weird to say the older stuff from the current generation, even though it still feels fresh, but it's not.
It's 5 years old at this point. It's crazy.
It is. That is crazy. But I do think I would have an issue if I started seeing, like, you know, multiple months where there's just, like, SpongeBob and, you know, Dora the Explorer games for free. And I'm like, that's not... Give me something, you know, make this worth it.
Another thing that prompted this discussion was I saw that the March lineup for Xbox is going to include the Xbox 360 version of the Disney Pixar Brave game. I was like,
yeah, no thanks.
They're scraping at
like
this
that's
point.
One that I'm not even going to download to hoard.
It's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want
at
that
at all.
Could be a good game, who knows.
Yeah,
could be a hidden gem.
I doubt it.
You don't know that, Jake.
And this sort of, I guess it's sort of, we've already answered the question, but just like, does the fact that these games are free make you care less about them? Like, is there some sort of value proposition to actually, when you buy a game for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks, I think you care about it, playing it more than you do if it's just, all right, it's the first of the month, let me download it.
For sure. I think it does have that, it's a psychological thing where I'm more inclined to play the game I paid for, where if it, you know, even if the free one is a better game, like, well,
I spent money on this game and I'm playing it.
Yeah, this one over here is, yeah, it can sit out for a little bit.
But
yeah, there are like older releases that don't have the multiplayer components, or that aren't, you know, in the reason that they're, you know, on this free service is because they're older and there's no need to play them now. They're not hot, you know? It's like, I'm not missing anything by putting it on the shelf for a little bit.
Right.
Like if a big Call of Duty drop, it's like, well, you know, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like, that player base is gone. They've moved on.
Yeah, and anybody that goes back to play it now, I don't know. I mean, I guess if it dropped new, people would flock back to it and it'd be fine, but...
Probably.
I don't think I'd care.
I just don't think we're ever going to see any absolutely great games, unless they're, to quote Rusty, a hidden gem that shows up in these collections.
Who's Rusty? But no, I agree with you. I agree.
I just think we're going to get either run-of-the-mill stuff or some really cool independent stuff.
I think the day of the hidden gem is gone. I think there's so many people that play games.
True.
That, Well, I don't know if that's true or not, because we talked about it last week, where I said certainly in the PC land there are some in there that people haven't tapped into.
Yeah.
But in anything that's been released physically for a console, I think the cream usually rises to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, usually. Absolutely. So I guess final point that I have to make on this whole topic is the Switch Online model. So Nintendo Switch Online coming September 2018. It's going to add all the functionality that, that everyone expects. Is going to be $20 per year.
Very doable.
But it's going to have a classic game selection. Now, this is subject to change according to Nintendo's website, but subscribers will get to download a compilation of classic titles with added online play, such as Super Mario Bros. 3, Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario. Those are three examples they gave. What do you think about this? What do you think about that idea?
Just the classic games thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, is that going to be enough? Just classic games? I mean, for $20 a year, it's hard to complain about. And Nintendo does have a massive backlog of classic games that they can throw out there.
I mean, I think it's cool. They've already released the NES Classic and the SNES Classic,
exactly,
which are going to have a lot of these things on it. I don't think it has a lot of the multiplayer or online components.
Yeah, I don't think it has any online stuff.
That could definitely make it neat. And, you know, for me personally, I don't care. Like,
you got them all.
Any game that they're going to put on there, I already have, most likely.
But on the go.
Yeah, on the go. That's great. It's going to be shinier, newer. I think more availability and accessibility of old games is great. Mm. You know, the more you can teach a youngster the roots of our great hobby, I think the better that is. But is classic games alone? I mean, I know that there's other features with this membership.
Right.
You get, like, I guess you
online
get online chat. Or do you even get the chat?
That convoluted half-ass thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the bulk of this goes into paying to be able to access a lot of these classic games.
Yeah.
So we'll say at least half of that money goes into that. I don't know that it's worth that. I think what would be more worth it is if it were $20 and you got a lot of the classic games, and they also could throw some Wii and Wii U and some GameCube stuff into there that, it doesn't even have to have, you know, any fancy online components, just a free one a month or something because so many of their franchises are just gone, left behind that you know, and not even just franchises, but like singular games. Like you said, I don't think you could get, like, I think it stopped short of GameCube or there might've been some 64 stuff on Virtual Console.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I don't either.
Either way, it's you can correct us if we're wrong, but I'm pretty sure it stopped short of GameCube.
I think I absolutely did.
So, I've brought this up before. I don't think Sunshine can be played on anything but a GameCube right now. I could be wrong, but yeah. I think that'd be a great one to bring forward a little bit and be like, hey, check this out. This is a game that you might like.
I think you can play Galaxy on a Wii U, I guess, right? The Galaxy games were those Wii versions backwards compatible.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
God, it's amazing how much I don't remember about those consoles. But
yeah. I think it's interesting because I feel like this is definitely, in a way, almost Nintendo stepping on their own feet with all these little classic consoles that they're releasing and then having this classic on the Switch as well. It's like, offer something different there. If you can.
Or more. Yeah. Like, I have the classic games for anybody that, didn't stand in line and beat up a nun to get a...
Which, by the way,
classic.
I saw those in stores twice today.
No shit.
On the shelf.
And were nuns fighting over it?
No.
I don't
know.
I'm picking on nuns today, but
no one's fighting over it.
They're peaceful people. Don't beat one up. But if they want an S Classic, give them yours. They're very sweet. But, to your point, but maybe a lot of people didn't get that, and that's why they're putting
maybe there's some
flair in this that they're adding that'll make it worth it. I definitely don't think it's bad to put classic games on there, especially
in
the old era, but I think they got to do more than that.
I think so, too. I think they need to bring some 2DS games, 3DS games, bring in some,
I keep forgetting the Switch is totally capable of it.
It can do any of that. I mean, I think it could do it can do anything Nintendo's ever done, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
any Game Boy Advance, any, Super Game Boy.
Super Game Boy, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube,
Famicom,
Wii, Wii U.
Some imports that we never got over here.
Do all that
just
stuff.
Just throw that right on there digitally. We could have it.
And I would love it. And because honestly, the Nintendo eShop is just kind of gross right now. It's just like on the Switch, it's just so much shovelware that's getting pumped into it. We really need some good ones. And I know they're out there, and some good ones are out there and probably getting buried, but I would just love to see that marketplace just flush with great Nintendo games and not 3D pull pizzazz or whatever it is, you know, because that stuff's starting to make it to the front. And I'm like, oh, God.
It's slowly going to become like an emulator for iPhone games.
Yeah, I don't want that.
That'd be gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. $20, though, I mean, it's pretty cheap.
It's cool. So. I mean, I'm going to get it, obviously, and having those games is going to be fun, especially, you know, being able to play like Dr. Mario online with somebody, or, you know, I don't know how that worked, but anyway, it'd be cool.
Yeah, I was wondering how that worked, but there's competitive versions.
Yeah,
which that is neat. I mean, that is really cool.
That'd be cool.
Can you know, will this cheaper model, and I know they're not really offering or giving you the same services that an Xbox Live or a PS Plus has done
right.
for 15 fucking years. It's amazing that Nintendo hasn't caught up to that yet or figured that out or
and survived,
but
thrived even.
Do you think this will force any of those to drop the prices on those memberships, considering that I think digital distribution and all that other stuff, I think a lot of the stuff that we've paid for in the past, it doesn't need to be $60.
Right.
I don't think.
I think one of two things will happen, you know, and I'm no Michael Pachter, but I think what could happen is if, you know, Nintendo is like, hey, $20 a year, here's what you get. And then like those people that do own multiple consoles, like myself and a lot of other people that we know, we're going to start to demand more quality for what we're paying, you know, Xbox and PlayStation 4. So I think either one of two things will happen. One is that, you know, the quality of the game that we're getting for free every month, I think, like, across the board, that should have to come up in a response to that kind of thing. Or, you know, it's just going to have, there's going to have to be a little bit more transparency about where that money's going. And I honestly just think it's going to subsidize probably selling all these consoles at loss like they had to initially, and they're probably still trying to, you know, get back in the black from
the
that.
Xbox One X is like a steal for what's in that box.
It's crazy.
And sorry if I look like I wasn't paying attention because I was steaming over thinking about what I paid $60 a year for like 5 years,
yeah.
Basically just to have a conference call in front of my fucking TV is all I paid $60 to
That's
do. That's all I got out of it before they gave me free games, which yeah. None of them have added up to be $60. I mean, it's just $60 a year, so I guess,
yeah.
I guess you know, it does even out in that regard.
Right. Still.
It's a lot of money.
It is. I mean, and it's interesting that now, you know, I think if these consoles weren't as successful as they have been, that we wouldn't, you know, that this would be a whole different picture. Because, you know, PlayStation 4 is selling like gangbusters. You know, I think it's allowed them to keep the cost of that stuff down in a way.
Right.
But who knows? Who knows where this will go?
I don't know. It was a good discussion, though.
Yeah. It was fun.
All right.
And fun.
Does that pretty much do it then?
That does it.
All right. Well, if you have any opinions on free games or the free games you've played or the free or the services or the services you pay for, let us know. We'd like to know what your take is.
Hit us up. Hit us back. Smack our ass.
Let us know what era Nintendo stopped putting things in the virtual console.
Yeah.
I'm confused. I swear to God there were some 64 games on there. I want to say Super Mario 64 and Mario Kart 64 were on virtual.
Well, I know there were ports of that on 2DS. Well, on DS.
Okay.
2DS, 3DS.
Okay. I could be completely wrong, but I definitely think there were no GameCube games.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
All right. Well, so that was that. That was our show. You agree with me. That's all I need to know. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at Polykill. I'm at Traff Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Polykill Podcast. Rate us on iTunes. Go to polykill.com. Check us out on the Cartridge Club. Leave a message in the forum. That's where we hang out. And polykillpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send all of your childhood mischief and maybe some good vibes.
Yay.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.